Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for the indwelling of your presence as we look and we celebrate tabernacles this week. We recognize that you are dwelling in us by your spirit, that we are your tabernacle in the earth, your chosen place of residence in this time. And we thank you for living in us and dwelling in us and leading us and guiding us. We thank you for spreading your love abroad in our hearts by your spirit who dwells in us. Father, I ask that you would give me utterance and that I might speak your word with all boldness. We pray right now, Father, that our hearts would be opened, our spirits would be enlightened. We might know the hope of your calling and have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Charles Swindoll said, 90% of every situation or 90% of everything that happens to you is in here. 10% comes on the outside. 90% of it happens here. 90% of the problems happen here. When you can't sleep at night, did somebody tell you you're going to die? Did God say you're going to die? This is going to be the end of it. No, that's happening here, right? You have a pain. Oh my God, that's it. Cancer has come. You know, not to make light of cancer or something like that. But I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had thoughts like that come to me. No doctor told me about it. It just happens in my mind. What am I going to do with it? I got the shakes this morning. Oh, I might be diabetic. I haven't eaten in a couple hours. Yeah. Where is that coming from? It's coming from in here. What am I going to do about it? Somebody says, oh, you're ugly. I don't like you. Oh, my God, I'm ugly and nobody likes me. We've been talking about how to have a carefree life. Well, where's the problem going to be solved at? Is it going to be solved when you can get everybody else to agree with you? That's never going to happen, honey. You'd be lucky if you could find one or two people who agree with you on everything, right? And most often, can I get an amen? It's not your spouse. I mean, ladies, it's your girlfriend you spend all your time talking with and laughing on the phone with, right? Oh, we agree about everything together. Now if only we could get our husbands on the same page, right? I could tell Kathy something, and she's like, oh, okay, well, whatever. And then she gets off the phone with her friend Michelle, and she's like, Michelle and I were talking, and she said this, and I was like, I said that too. Yeah, but I didn't really hear it until she said it. I'm like, okay. But the thing is, we're never going to find somebody who agrees with us 100% on anything. Our best option is to find the one person who knows everything. You know where I'm going. Find the one person who knows everything and agree with them.
That's right.
Who's the one person who knows everything?
Jesus.
God. God knows everything.
Right.
Somebody said, well, you can't know what God thinks about that situation, or you can't know what God thinks about this or that. Yes, I can. Because everything that concerns him is in here. If I can find out what he thinks about a situation, then I can find out what he thinks about it. Okay? We were talking this morning. I love some of our conversations. We have some of the great conversations. Charles Swindoll said that 90% of the battle that we face happens here. Joyce Meyer is famous for her book, The Battlefield of the Mind. We've been talking about having a carefree mind or having a carefree life, right? You know, we see Snow White, and she's just been chased by the... you're going to put that picture up again, aren't you? I can tell by the look on your face. She's been chased into the woods. She's devastated. The huntsman wants to kill her. All the animals, woodland creatures, are after her. And she falls down into a pile on the ground, and she starts to cry. Ultimately, every single one of us is facing that battle. We're facing that challenge. What's going to happen? How's this going to end? What's going to happen to me? You know, if my husband dies, what's going to happen to me? Well, you'll keep on going. That's what's going to happen to you. You might cry for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. That's what he says about it. No matter what you're going through, come morning, you're going to have to get up and keep going, and you're going to have to face the day. I know when we lost our first baby, the thing that comforted me, oddly enough, was an old saying, that which does not kill me only serves to make me stronger. And there's a lot of truth in that. Nothing that you face is so tragic that it's the end of all existence for you. Nothing. Worst case scenario, and I've said this before, is you leave your earthly dwelling and you go to be with the Lord. How's that bad? Right? That's an amazing turn of events. Okay, so, you know, maybe you get this horrible pronouncement over you and you do everything you can, but then you end up dying. Oh, gee, that's just terrible. Now you're with the Lord. Oh, what a horrible outcome. You know, I was with my mom when she moved to heaven. So that's what I call it. She moved to heaven. She found out late on that she had stage 4 cancer, and it had metastasized in her brain. And I asked her, what you want to do about it, because she'd been healed from multiple sclerosis. You know what I'm saying? This is just stage 4 cancer. She just wanted to go. She was tired. She'd fought. Well, when it was her time to go, I got up that morning, and the Lord spoke to me. I got out of the shower. I don't know why it is. What is it with the shower? Naked and exposed before him, I guess. And he said, today's the day your mom is supposed to come home. But you need to let her go. See, in my mind, I'd been holding on to her. I'd been holding on to her. Well, that morning I went in and I told her, I said, well, today's your day. She was unconscious. Lord told me it's your day. So we're still talking about the bind. And I crawled up on bed with her. It's a very long story. But I was holding her hand in the bed next to her when she left. It wasn't tragic. It wasn't the end of the world. I cried. You know, somebody said, well, you posted on Facebook, you don't like it when people cry. That is not what I said. What I said was, I don't like cries that try to manipulate people. There's a huge difference. And I cried. And I spent a lot of time. My mom and I were very close. I would have up days and down days. Did I make it through? When we lost our first son, did I die and succumb to the grief?
No.
No, here I am. I've got a 12, oh my God, almost 13-year-old daughter. She's in seventh grade. My son is 6. And I lived. In the meantime, we lost another baby. Did that kill us?
No.
Now, yeah, I tell you, I mean, stuff goes through your mind. I mean, we found out about our first baby the day after Christmas. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Christmas has just never been that special for me again since then. You know what I'm saying? But did it kill me? Did it destroy me? Let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. That's a large amount of stuff that happens to us that is just in the brain. It's just in the brain. 90% of everything we deal with is just in our own thoughts. Colossians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. Fix your mind. Fix your mind. Fix your mind when you're going through something. I am seated with God at the right hand of majesty, far above this situation. This situation is not controlling me. This situation does not control my outcome. What controls your outcome? Fix your mind on Him. Fix your mind on Him. What does He say about the situation? I like this. Let's look at, remember last week we talked about in Mark chapter 4, and Jesus is in the boat with His disciples, And they said to him, the waves and everything were getting really bad. And they, let's look at that. That is so, I had so much fun with that last week. That was so much fun. Mark chapter 4. Oh, I'm in Matthew. No wonder it's not making sense. Right? If I'm not on the right page, we're never going to get there. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. It goes, let us cross over to the other side. This is Jesus. He has said, let us cross over to the other side. Was there any doubt in his mind where he was going? He was crossing over to the other side. Then the waves and everything get really bad. The disciples come to Jesus. He's asleep in the back of the boat. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? We're dying. We're dying. This situation is peril. We're in peril. We are going to die. Don't you care? Do you think he cares? Of course he cares for you. Do you think that he's concerned about the situation? Is he all distraught and upset over it? Oh my God, why didn't you wake me up sooner? We're all going to die. It's too late. Listen, he knew something. He knew that his father had preserved him. He knew that the enemy is the one who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, but that God comes to give life and give that more abundantly. So what you're going through is only leading to the other side. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side, right? Where were they going to go? To the other side. Might they encounter some issues or problems along the way?
Yes.
What about Israel? Oh, you ever read about Israel in the book of Numbers? God has miraculously saved them through all the plagues of Egypt. They leave and they come out with the wealth of Egypt. You know that they actually did. The Egyptians said, here, take all of our stuff and go. Right? I mean, that's a pretty sweet deal. Here, take my iPad and our gold jewelry and here's my wife's diamond ring. Take it. Just leave. Go. They went out of Egypt with all the wealth of Egypt. I suppose that's why Pharaoh changed his mind and said, hey, wait a minute. What did we just do? We just let them go and they took everything we had. Well, God was preparing them. They get to the Red Sea. Oh, God just brought us here to die. We're all just going to die here at the sea. We're just going to perish. Why? Sound familiar? Anybody ever done that? This is just horrible. I can't believe that this is happening to us. It's that new movie, The Intern. Have you seen it? Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway. And she's got this internet business. And she finds out through this situation, her husband, who's decided to be the stay-at-home parent, is having an affair. She doesn't know what to do about it. And she says to Robert De Niro, she says, lots of couples make it through this. We can focus on ourselves and not the problem. Man, I'm telling you right there. We can focus on our marriage and not the problem, not the affair, and we can make it through. That is a huge statement. To say, we're not going to focus on the problem, we're going to focus on the solution. God brought you out. Do you think he really brought you out to make an example of you and let you die a miserable, horrible death without him? Just so people could say, well, you trusted in that God and he did nothing for you. Oh, come on, no, seriously. I trust in that God. And whether I live or die, I'm going to trust in that God. I was talking to Debbie Land. Man, I'm telling you what, she's one of those people, she inspires me so much. She just says, you know, Pastor, she says, you know, I've got all this stuff going on with her personal life and all this stuff going on with her business. And she says, you know, I used to find joy in the things that I could buy or things I could do. She says, and the joy isn't coming from those things anymore. She says, I really believe that God is helping me to find my joy in him. Now, does he cause all this stuff to happen to her? No. But that which the enemy intended for evil, God is turning around and helping her to find her joy, helping her to find her strength, helping her, helping her, helping her. Now, she will always say, she says, I go back to the first message you preached at church on that first Sunday. You have to choose God or the world. And she says, so I just start choosing God and everything now. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm just going to side with God. Okay, God, I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's all going to work out because you said in your word, if I'll trust in you, that you're going to help me. Either way, it works out. Either way, you're a winner. Why? Because everything worked out the way you wanted it to? Or because you trusted God and came out the other side smelling sweet? Because you trusted him. We have to fix our mind. Jesus said to the storm, he said, peace, be still. Was his mind fixed on the problem or the solution? The solution was peace. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it get all... Don't let... He said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Where was that verse? This is different. Doing it from here. We'll go back to paper next week. Yeah, I'm going back to paper next week. It's easier. Oh, take no thought. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, take no thought. So what kind of thought? Well, no thought of lack. No thought of death. Don't let those things be the distracting thing in your life. Don't let the problem be distracting. Take no thought. Take no thought over what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or how you're going to survive. Take no thought for it. Take no care for it. Don't get all wrapped up in how's it going to work out. Trust in him. That goes back to talking about us being the tabernacle. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. He's trying to lead us. We have to get quiet with him. We have to allow him to be the leader. When we can get quiet with him, we're like, okay, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, but you come to give life and that more abundantly. If I side with the problem over here that's trying to steal from me, if I side with the problem over here that's trying to kill some aspect of my life, some aspect of my business, some aspect of my own ability, if I'm focused on that instead of over here, where he gives life and that more abundant. So if he's given me life and that more abundant, and he says, take no thought over these things over here. So I come back over here, and people are going to call you simple. They're going to think you're simple. They're going to think, well, you don't have enough common sense to be concerned about that. Don't you know numbers matter? Don't you know it matters how many people are there? No, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. Somebody said, you know, concerning numbers at church. Well, I'm not concerned about numbers at church. God told David, don't number the people. Don't take a census. It doesn't matter. God told Gideon, you get rid of all the people that are afraid. You get rid of all the people that don't want to be there. And who do you have left? 300 people. And they went to war, went to battle against the Midians, and they came out on top. Because the people that were with him were with him. Don't be concerned about the numbers. He keeps telling me, don't be concerned about numbers. He's going to work everything out. Amen. Fix your mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Start in verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He has not given us the spirit of fear. If you've got fear coming on you, if fear is trying to pressure against you, remember, 90% of what happens here. 10% of it is the surrounding situation. I think that's a good model. I mean, when you go through something and you get to the other side, how much of it was just all of your fear and worry about how it was going to work out? Most all of it, right? When you get to the other side and you find out, well, okay, I did all that worrying, sleepless nights, for nothing. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace, of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. If you have a sound mind, you're not going to go to bed at night drenched in sweat and fear and tears, worrying about how the situation's going to work out, because you have the spirit of love and of power. The Spirit of God living on the inside of you, tabernacling in you, is leading you, helping you, guiding you. He's giving you life and that more abundant. Don't fear. Fear not. I said this before. 365 times in the Bible it said, fear not. Don't fear. Why? Because it seems like, honey, every day we wake up, there's something that we can take the opportunity to fear for, huh? And every day he's saying, don't fear. Fear not. It's going to work out. Everything's going to be fine. Yeah, you've never been down this road before. You've never been this way before. But fear not. It's going to be okay. Fear not. Fear not. Take no thought. Take no thought. Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. Again, we're fixing our mind. In the South, they say we're fixing to go somewhere. We're fixing. I like that. We'll start in verse 11. Oh, let's start in verse 10. Romans 8 through 15. And if Christ is in you, is Christ in you? He's in you. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you or lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Who is he? He's Abba, Father. He's not given us a spirit of bondage to fear. You ever felt like, man, if I didn't have anything else but fear, what would I do? I mean, you can have fear over situations. We have this situation that every time I think about it, I get in fear over. But then I have to remind myself. I don't have the spirit of fear. He's not given me the spirit of fear. So I'm not going to fear. Does that make me a simpleton not to fear? Well, the world would say so. Well, you know, a reasonable person would have some concern or fear over that situation, worry about how it's going to turn out. You know, the one lady who says, she says, you know, my grandmother was a worrier, my mother was a worrier, I'm a worrier, it's just a genetic trait. No, it's not. Not if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, worry is not a genetic trait. The blood of Jesus runs through your veins. The Spirit of the living God dwells within you. How can fear and worry be part of your genetic makeup? Well, it can't. It can if you let it. You can let it be something that consumes your thoughts. You can let it be something that consumes your thoughts, will, and emotion. How's this going to work out? What am I going to do? Well, stop it! Jesus said, take no thought. Don't worry about it. If he clothes the bird, if he clothes the lily of the field, if he gives the birds a home and food to eat, how much more, you being his children, is he going to care for you? Does he care for you? Yes. Is he your father? Yes. Did he redeem you and release you from the bondage of fear? It's going to happen again. No, it's not. It's not coming back a second time. The curse causeless will not return a second time. You know that that's in the Bible? Sickness and disease are a curse. The Bible says, God says, that the curse causeless will not return a second time. So, hey, you went through it once. You don't have to go through it again. It's not going to come back. Faith got in fear. She said, well, what happens if the retina in my other eye goes? It's not. And every night we speak life to her other eye. Why? Because we believe the Bible. We call her eye open. Come on. Listen, it'd be easy. Oh, it's so easy to get into fear and concern about how things are going to work out. Don't do it. Don't do it. Listen, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the spirit is life because of righteousness. So you're alive. You have life. You have the life of God. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Well, do you have to worry about, is this going to lead to death? No. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Whose responsibility is it? His. How is it going to help you to dwell on something that might not happen? Is it going to help you?
No.
Well, what if I do die? So what? I said that before. So you change residence. Big deal. You don't get to do that, by the way. Yeah, we tell each other every time we think about it, we say, no early flights home. No early flights home. We don't get to take early flights home. I was wishing people happy birthday on Facebook today. I have a friend, and I thought for sure, you know, this person was in their late 60s. And they're just 6 years older than me. Surprise! You know, I'm going to tell you what. So much of how we look and how we act and how we treat others and how we respond is so much in here just programmed. Do you know, on my dad's side of the family, everybody just naturally lives into their 80s and 90s. I'm 51. How many years does that give me, just naturally speaking, that I can be in the ministry still? It gives me at least 30 more years. I could be preaching for another 30 years should the Lord tarry. Am I old?
No.
Are we given a time to retire in the Bible? Does God say, you know, when you get to such and such an age, you should retire? No. I watched my dad, God bless his heart. He's retired. He is most of the time bored. Not a lot to do. Retirement, I mean, come on, I mean, if you want to retire, I mean, I'm not opposed to retiring. I retired yesterday. I'll tell you the honest truth, I retire every Saturday. I very seldom do anything on Saturdays. God made Sabbath for man. I enjoy Sabbath. I take a Sabbath rest. Everybody should. Take a Sabbath rest. Oh, it's so good for you to just not do anything for one day. It revitalizes you. It helps you. Do you know we spent yesterday, we got this new devotional book. I love it. It's by Jonathan Kahn, the guy who wrote The Harbinger. Oh, I love it. It's called The Mysteries. And it's written almost like a novel. And every day a new truth is revealed to him by this person called the teacher, who just comes whenever. And man, we're reading it, and I'm just loving. And we did that yesterday. We did two of them together yesterday. We sat around the table, and we read it, and we talk about it. And it's a time, you know, taking a day off, your Sabbath, which is part of, anyway. It's helpful. It's helpful to your body. It's helpful to your mind. It's helpful for your family. If you don't have to rush off and go places and do things, and you can hang out together It's not a time for legalism. You say, oh, you can't do this. Oh, no. Go to Starbucks. They're going to work anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because the Jewish Orthodox, they believe that you're not allowed to go out and make somebody else work. So I have this friend on Facebook. She was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family. And this is funny. Because there are Reform and then there's Orthodox. She was raised in the Reform family. So when they would get in their car on Saturday and drive to synagogue, her cousins who were Orthodox would spit at their car and throw rocks at them because they were breaking Sabbath law. Oh my God, this is true. People do stuff like that. But that's why, you know, in the Gospels, when Jesus' disciples are out and they're plucking heads of wheat, and the Pharisees got mad, well, they're working on the Sabbath. No, they're not. They're eating. They're just eating. He said, besides that, Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. It's just a time for rest. It'd be good for you to do that. And I'm not telling you you have to do that. But this all works back into this. You've got to give it a rest. You can't just let this thing control you. You've got to take control over it. Let no thought. Take no thought. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Don't sit around worrying about it. Jesus said you can't change the color of your hair or grow even an inch by worrying about it. You know, if you're short, that's okay. You know my friend Teresa, remember her? Right? Barely taller than the pulpit. You know what she says? She says, well, historically speaking, I'm the same height as most Jewish people were in the times of Jesus. So you're the one who's freakishly tall. See, I mean, there's always a way around it. Just be happy with who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. You know, somebody else, oh, you know, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. That's one of the biggest things we have of worry is trying to be like other people. Well, I wish I had this or I wish we could do that. Stop it. Take no thought. God cares for you. He loves you. You know, coming out of Israel, out of Egypt, the children of Israel, they had seen these miraculous things, and you know what they missed? Onions, garlic, leeks, cucumbers. You know, I mean, they're like, all we get to see is this manna. I mean, come on. God is feeding you supernaturally out of the sky. It's forming on the dew in the morning, and you don't want that? I'd be all over that. That's got to be supernatural. That is going to heal my body. That is going to help me. Oh, I'm going to eat me as much manna as I can because it's going to make me look good. It's going to help me stay young. And it's a gift from God. He was taking care of them, right? Well, how much more, you guys? I mean, he's your heavenly Father. Should we worry about, well, we don't have enough for this or we don't have enough? Stop trying to be like everybody else. Stop allowing your mind to wander. I talked about this before, silly string. It's silly string. Give it up. Give it up. Stop worrying about all these things that could or could not happen. Well, what if? You know, Kathy and I were dating. Well, what if it doesn't work out? Well, we'll make it work out. You know one word we never say? I'll give you a hint. Starts with a D, ends with an E. We never mention it. It's not allowed in casual conversation or in fights. We don't talk about divorce. Why? It's not an option. Divorce is not an option. And if anybody was ever going to have a reason to divorce somebody, it would be her for me. Not that I'm a screw up or anything like that, but if anybody was going to do it, it would be me. You know what I'm saying? So I really luck out on this. She's committed never to divorce me. So what does that make me want to do? Be all the better. Right? Well, don't worry about it. What if that person becomes a homicidal maniac? Well, you can't help that. You can't. I mean, if they're a sociopath and they've hidden it from you, it's not your fault. It's their fault. You didn't create that, right? I'm actually talking to somebody right there and I didn't even think about it. Praise the Lord. Come on. You can't change other people. because you worry about them. You can't change a situation because you're in fear about it. You can't. It's not going to happen. You will never worry or complain or have problems enough that worry is going to change it. Never. But the one thing you can do to get through it is always go back to Him. Fix your mind. Colossians 3. Fix your mind on Him. I am seated with Him. I have this friend, and we'll just say that she's a new believer who still lives the old way she always did for 30 years. And her mother passed away recently, and she's just recently come to the Lord. And she said, you know, I talk to my mom still sometimes. I said, I still talk to my mom sometimes too. And she says, and she doesn't really know her Bible. She says, when I talk to her, I just always see her seated at the right hand of God. Is that blasphemous? I said, no, that's the Bible. We're seated together with Him in heavenly places at the right hand of majesty on high. Listen, if you understand you're seated at the right hand of majesty on high, if you're seated to the eternal King, if you're seated right next to Him, what business have you got to worry about the situation that you're facing that's a temporary situation here on earth? Is it going to help? No. Oh, Lily. It's not going to help. You're seated with Him far above. If you're far above it, how much time do you need to give to it? Fix your mind on things above, where He is seated, where you are seated with Him in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to wrap this series up. Yeah, Kathy wants to give a couple testimonies.
When you look at this and it says, fix your mind on things above, and you're thinking, okay, well, what does that mean to me? What does that personally mean to me? That means you go in this word and you find that scripture to your situation, okay? When I was working and then in Alaska, I had the hardest time. I would come home crying. I'm like, oh God, this is so hard. I'm just having the hardest time. So what did I do? I went in here. I fixed my eyes on things above. I found the word that would fit my situation. And in Psalms 139, which is one of my ultimate favorite ones, it says that He surrounds us. He hems us in. So I said, Lord, You're my front and rear guard. You're my defender. You defend me at work. You defend me. Because He says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. What does that mean? He says, come, bring me in remembrance of my word.
Amen.
So you find it in here and you take it to God and you say, okay, God, You said in Your word these things. I'm fixing my eyes on Your word. I'm fixing my eyes on You, and this is what You said. So I'm thanking You now that You're going to do this. And while you're doing that, what you're doing is agreeing with God. And as you agree, you're finding that peace, because God's word brings you peace.
Yes.
That great I am, the Holy One, is going to do it for you. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing when you're fixing your eyes. Because who are you fixing your eyes on then? God. You're not fixing your eyes on the situation. So whatever your situation is, find what that scripture is. When we lost our first baby, afterwards, I was devastated. I had the biggest hole in my heart that I had to quit. I basically detached myself from. I used to quilt. I used to do other things. And I said, I can't do that anymore because that was who I was. So then I started doing it, you know, just found other things to do. But we went to a youth camp. Leave it to God, an AG youth camp, leave it to God to heal you on a youth camp. And so we're going in and we're worshiping, and they said, please do not get out of your seat. If you have to go to the bathroom, go ahead and go beforehand. So here I am, the youth leader, running in the back to the bathroom, in and out. And I'm going into the stall and I'm crying in a stall at youth camp. And I said, God, You said in Your word. So what did I do? I found the word and I brought it to Him. And I said, You said in Your word that You would carry my burdens. Because He says, take my burden. My burden is light. He says, you know, cast all your cares. I said, You said You would carry my burdens. This is a burden. I said, I cannot carry this. This hurts too bad. And do you know God met me in the bathroom in a stall while I'm weeping? He met me there. He met me there, and He took my pain. I look back at that, and I don't have that sorrow. That big black hole that was eating me up on the inside And we have things that happen in our life that eat us up, that want to eat us up, and they're there. They want to consume you. So you go to that word and you find what God says about you. You are seated in heavenly places. You do not walk this alone. And you find it and you pray it. And as you're praying that out and you're thanking God that he's your defender, he's your front and rear guard, guess what? You're going to start to notice it change. You're going to start to notice it. When I left Alaska and I left my job, it wasn't the hard place it used to be. It wasn't the hard thing. I wasn't crying towards the end almost every day. Okay, so when we're talking about fixing our eyes, you find it in here.
It's work.
It's work, but you find it. You find out what it is, and you start praying it, and you start thanking God. Because you know what? He is there for you to help you.
You know, in adding to that, the writer of Hebrews said, "Let us therefore labor to enter into the rest of God." Sometimes it's going to be a labor. I mean, your mind, and you've got so many things pressuring you from the outside, it's going to feel like labor. And you're going to say, it's just easier to sit here and cry and be upset. But if you'll get to the other side of that, and you'll say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to labor to enter in to God's rest for me. Man, when we came here, I mean, we had some tough times the first few months. Okay? I cannot and I will not get into it, but it was hard, and I was ready to bail, okay? And I remember I told Verna one day, we got past it, and I told Verna, I said, well, I pulled my resume off the other website today. I think that was Verna. Verna knew at that point, okay. That's like several months in, right, Verna? It was hard, but I determined that if God brought us here and everything that we had prayed for and everything that we'd written down had come to pass for being here, then here was where he wanted us. And if I just ran away, then I'm not facing the situation. I'm not allowing him to work in me. I'm not allowing him to work in the church. Oh, good. Yes. And then we come out on the other side of the forest like this, right? But this is true. I mean, at some point, you're going to be going through something, and all of a sudden, you're going to open your eyes, and everything is different. Everything, you're on the other side of it. You've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and now you're on the other side. Now everything is coming up roses again. But watch out, because when that happens, you know who is going to come again, and he's going to try to get you distracted. But you can be like David, and you can know, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I'm going to kill you too, you dirty Philistine. And you're not going to let that situation overrun you. Amen? Amen. Well, is Kathy a blessing? I love her. She's sweet. And she loves me. Amen? I am a lucky man. I'm a blessed man. I am. Well, praise the Lord. Does this help? Does this help? I mean, I was talking to Debbie, and she said, you know, I wanted to call you, she said, but I was crying and I was having a really bad day. I said, no, call me then. Call me on that day. When you're crying and you're having a hard time and you don't see how it's going to make it and you're having a hard time, call me. Call Kathy. We want to talk to you. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. We want to help you. That's what we're here for. When you're having the hard time, let us know. Because we're not mind readers. You know that? We're not mind readers, David. I don't know. You know? I mean, I get intuitions. I know that God reveals things to us. But unless you tell me about it, I'm not just going to come up and start talking to you about it. You know what I'm saying? If you're having a hard time, call me. Call Kathy. Good grief. I mean, she's the world's biggest encourager right there. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for rain, Lord. Hallelujah, we've come out of the drought of summer into the rain. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your goodness poured out on us. We thank you that we can turn to you and we can trust you. We can depend on you because you are faithful who promised. We thank you. You are so faithful to us. We bless you. We honor you. We remember that we are your earthly tabernacle, that you live in us, abide in us, dwell in us, and lead us by your Spirit. Father, I just thank you for every person here. I plead the blood of Jesus over them and over their families. I thank you, Father, that you go before them and you are their rear guard. You are their fortress in whom they can hide and have deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.